The scripture for tonight is Mark 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days after the suffering, the sun will darken and the moon will not give up its light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or in the midnight, or at the cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of the Lord.
But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from their high places, and the powers in the high places will be shaken. You know, in the past, when I read these words in Mark's gospel, they seemed like strange or ominous, you know. I resisted them because they were like a relic from a tradition that I grew up in, part of that tradition, and it was part of that tradition that I no longer want to have anything to do with. I mean, believe me, there are many parts of that tradition which I value, cherish, even embrace. But this apocalyptic business, with its fantasy, drama, and the threat of uncompromising judgment, no, not interested. It always seemed to, honestly, a little like embarrassing, you know, especially to like read during Advent. Like, what? You know, whenever these words come up, whenever we read this text for Advent, I want to immediately qualify them like I'm like, you know, smarter than them or something. And I'm like, well, you know, apocalyptic literature is a kind of code language that Mark's community uses to speak about a hoped-for downfall of the Roman Empire. And while certain Christian traditions may have taken its meaning to predict a second coming of Christ at the end of time, this event where their sect will be elevated and those who disagree will be punished, that hardly seems like an informed reading of the text to me. But now when I read this text, like right now, I do not find it off-putting at all, or embarrassing, or strange, or ominous. Not at all. I mean, it seems that in the past I was unable to understand its meaning, because in the past its meaning was ununderstandable. It turns out that I needed the context of the apocalypse to understand the apocalypse. Now, when I read these texts, you know, and when I read in these texts, as we are going to do time and time again during Advent, this admonition to stay awake, to watch and wait, I hear it now for the first time ever. I hear it very differently. Very differently. In the past, I'd always considered this admonishment to watch and wait to be some sort of abstract spiritual truism. But now I can see for the very first time that it was simply saying that we should watch and wait because a time is coming. Watch and wait for something very real to occur. Well, I'm here to tell you the wait is over. The wait is over. The time is now. The apocalypse is upon us. It's here. All the signs have come to pass. Wars and rumors of wars. Come on, we got them. You know, earthquakes, fire, volcano, pestilence. Oh, we got them. We got them. Wars, everything. And a great beast ascending to world domination. We got it all, people. So, I really want to thank you for meeting me here. I really want to thank you all for coming. Because now is the time. Now is the time that we talked about. We have prepared for. Now is the time we've prepared for. And you may think that you're not ready, but you are. You are. The tools of darkness have made themselves known. The great gluttonous beasts have raised themselves up to the limits of their strength. They soon will no longer be able to hold up their bloated mass. Soon their withered limbs will collapse, and they will hit the ground with a dull thud and a wheezing gasp. We will look at them whimpering on the cool, cold, marbled floors of the halls of power, showing their soft white bellies, and we will wonder how this anemic geriatocracy was ever able to cause so much pain. Yes, this is the time. This is the time. The baby carriage is sitting at the top of the street, at the head of the hill, unattended and until now unnoticed. But this baby carriage is just now beginning to roll. And it will pick up speed. And it will pick up speed. And we will see justice roll down with that infant bouncing toward sure collision as it races into the intersection where we now find ourselves. I know. I know. These times have been disheartening. At so many times, it's felt hopeless, helpless. There have been so many moments of anger and disbelief. And as the portents of the end have accelerated over these last 10 months, and we have been forced into a routine of waking each morning with trepidation, fearing what new heartless and heartbreaking action has been taken while we slept by the emperor buffoon and the greedy, jowly, cold-lipped men gasping at air around him. But finally, in the midst of all this, a movement of hope has occurred. A movement of hope has occurred. A wave of transformation has begun. This is the point where we can see that that long arc of history is bending towards justice, led by our mothers and our grandmothers and our daughters and our sisters and our partners. They have stood up and spoken out and have caused the stars to fall. And it's a sign. It's the sign that we have been waiting for. But in those days after the suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from their high places. And those in power in the high places will be shaken. This is a sign of hope. This is a sign. There is this light that shines through the cracks in the edifice of power. And we will watch as the crack begins to widen until the light can no longer be contained. So, my friends, make no mistake that we are a sleeper cell who have received our signal to wake up and to take action. It's time to bring our radical mercy into the streets. It's time to practice our radical mercy out in the open, in the light of day. In our current public discourse, there is no vocabulary for radical mercy. There is no tolerance for grace. There is no patience for the nuance it takes to condemn justice, name its perpetrators, and begin to work for reconciliation. But you, all of you, you've been preparing for this. You've been preparing for this, and you've been prepared for this time, this exact moment in history. You know the ways of radical mercy. You're able to walk in gratitude and hope and to distribute love in your wake. We must take action. We must first pledge to stop spending countless hours convincing ourselves and each other that what we already know and believe is true. We cannot do the work of this apocalypse, do the work that this apocalypse demands, simply by speaking to each other. We cannot practice radical mercy by only talking to ourselves. We are free. We're free. We are free to love without hesitation or judgment. We must become apostates in both camps. We must betray our affiliations by crossing the lines, and we must walk into their camp open-handed, appealing to their humanity while humbly maintaining our disagreement. We must love our enemies vigorously. So, as you go out into the world, look for opportunities to infiltrate the opposition. Keep your eyes open for pockets of darkness and move towards them. Okay? Good. Then let's meet back here. Sisters, brothers, justice is unfolding. The stars are falling from their places of power. This is your wake-up call. You are free to practice the radical mercy and gratitude we have been prepared for. And when we fail out there, remember to show some of that radical mercy to yourself, okay? Now, come and get something to eat and drink before you go. You'll need your strength.